Are you filled with that wonder, that awestruck wonder? Just at the mention of his name. I mean, we sing that. Have you thought about that? I mean, are you really at the name of Jesus, when that name is mentioned, are you filled with that wonder? I mean, just that awestruck wonder at the mention of his name. I mean, how awesome is our Lord? Amen. So tonight, you can start by turning to Psalms 150. And tonight I want to talk about excellence. Excellence is important, but I want to talk about excellence according to the Word of God and how we should be applying that in our lives. And I'm just going to start this morning, since it is a Bible study. We'll get out some study stuff, right? I'm going to start this morning by going through the definition of excellence. And excellence means superior, very good of its kind, eminently good, and first class. That's how we all are in every area of our lives, right? Okay? I mean, it sounds like the things of God to me. I mean, when you read that definition, that sounds like the things of God. And at least we should look at that as the way the things of God should be, right? That the things of God are superior. They're very good of its kind, eminently good and first class. Because that's the way God is, right? I mean, God is that way in everything that he does. And if you're in Psalms 150, we're just going to go to verse 2. And it says, praise him for his mighty acts. Praise him according to his excellent greatness. I mean, I love that. We just praise him just for who he is, for who just his excellence and his greatness in our lives. And, you know, what I see in the world today, though, in a large extent in a lot of Christians today, is that we've taken that word excellence, or what excellence in the Word of God is, how excellent our God is, and we've begun to kind of lower that standard of excellence in our lives to the point that we've really started to accept a lower standard of what excellence is, right? And excellence according to the Word of God. And if we're not careful, we start taking what we see in the world and start transferring it to the things of God in our lives. And if we keep going down that road with that same mindset, then the things of God, instead of being superior and excellent in our lives, become, you know, average or maybe even mediocre and low in quality in our lives. And I believe that one of the reasons this mindset, and it seems to be pretty prevalent out there, at least from what I see, you know, my work life before I retired, I saw this trend just kind of going from people who came to work wanting to work to people who came to work wanting to pay not to work, you know? And I mean, though their standards, there was something going on. And I think a big reason that that level, that standard of excellence is lowered and lowered and lowered, is that people just aren't pursuing excellence in their lives. They're not pursuing after that. We're just kind of taking the easy route, taking what's easy in our lives. And when you look at the definition of pursue, it means to follow in an effort to overtake or capture, to chase, to strive or gain, to accomplish. So, I mean, we have to strive. I mean, when you look at pursuing something, you got to put effort into it. And I think a lot of us, a lot of people, nobody here, I'm sure, but a lot of people don't really want to put that effort into pursuing after excellence in our lives. And, you know, we need to do that. We need to pursue it until we overtake it and capture it in our lives. And when you think about it, if we're pursuing excellence in our lives, we're pursuing that superior, that eminently good, that first-class thing. But then the opposite is true, right? If you're not pursuing excellence, you're pursuing something that's average or mediocre. Because whatever you pursue in your life, that's what you're going to get, right? If you pursue nothing, what are you going to get? Probably nothing, right? You're not going to get anything. But if you're pursuing after excellence, you're going to get excellence in your lives. And, you know, as I was thinking about this, I kind of split it up into three categories that made sense to me, and hopefully they'll make sense to you, right? So the three different kind of areas or categories I came up with was, you have the lazy person, you have the mediocre person, and then you have an excellent person. And there's three different types. And the lazy person, is somebody you don't want to be, right? We don't want to be that lazy person, but I bet we've all either been lazy at times in our lives or been around somebody who's lazy, and either way, you probably didn't really enjoy that time being around them. But anyway, I thought it was interesting to look at a definition of the word lazy. It says, disinclined to activity or exertion. I like that. I don't want to do nothing. I think pastors brought it up before, you know, the lazy boy, right? We want that lazy boy chair. That's really what we're looking at. Getting in the lazy boy and staying there is really what that is. It's not energetic or vigorous. Encouraging inactivity. Boy, how's that today? Inactivity. I mean, other than strong thumbs, I mean, we're not doing a whole lot. Moving slowly and sluggish. Not rigorous or strict, and not easily aroused to activity. And slothful. I mean, it's not a very attractive definition, you know, being lazy. Yet, we see a lot of people who tend to go down that road of being lazy and just not wanting to do much of anything. And that lazy person is someone who usually will blame their problems on somebody else. You know, there's always, it's them, right? We always hear, they did it, or it's they are doing something that's causing me not to be able to succeed in my life. So you're always blaming your problems on other people, and they're envious of what other people have, yet they don't want to do what it takes to acquire whatever they're envious of in their lives. They want somebody else to fix everything for them because I'm a victim, right? If they are doing it to me, then I'm a victim of that circumstance. Therefore, somebody else should fix it. I shouldn't have to do it. And as Christians, we can become spiritually lazy as well, can't we? I mean, we can be spiritually lazy to the point where we get tempted. You know, we get tempted by the devil. We get tempted by that stuff, by our flesh. And we won't rise up and resist that temptation. We'll just open the door to sin, even though we know we shouldn't do it. We'll just open that door because we've gotten that lazy attitude in our minds and we just won't rise up and stand firm against that temptation, because isn't it just easier to give in? I mean, it really is. You won't like the results of giving in, but in that moment of time, sometimes it's just easy. Well, you get the mindset that it's easier to give in, not that we should. You know, you end up saying things like, you know what? Everybody else is doing it. And you know, I'm really not as bad as they are. So, you know, you start justifying the mindset, justifying, and then it becomes that stronghold in your life. But by contrast, an excellent person is the one who's going to resist the temptation. They're not going to open the door to the sin. They're not going to fall into the compromise and step over into that realm of just sinning or just accepting that temptation and walking into it and opening the door to it, because they're excellent, they're standing firm, they're not giving in to that. So we can look at the definition of a mediocre person, and I thought that was interesting. A mediocre person is of moderate or low quality or value in ability and performance. They're ordinary, just so-so. I mean, not a very attractive one there as well. But, you know, that mediocre person is somebody who's kind of halfway between failure and success. And I talked about this a little bit at Men's Breakfast. I worked for the Forest Service for many years. And when I first started, I'm sorry, I know. Okay, don't get up and leave. No, I'm just kidding. Government employee, right? But when I first started, our performance appraisals, or performance rating, they called them, but we had to get rid of the word rating because it's kind of harsh and mean. But anyway, we had our performance rating, and there were several, you know, depending on the job you had, they defined that really very well into several categories, to where when you got done with your rating by your supervisor, it gave you a very good picture of really where you were at as an employee, you know, how you were doing your job. But that's kind of harsh, you know, so we wanted to be mediocre about it, apparently. So what they decided, they again, right? What the Forest Service decided, and whether this is government-wide, I don't know. But anyway, what the Forest Service decided is, we're not going to call it a performance rating, we're going to make it an appraisal. So you have a performance appraisal, and we're going to make it very generic. So a forest supervisor and a first-year firefighter pretty much had the same performance appraisal. And it got to the point where you had two things that you could do. You could be not meet fully successful, which nobody could do because you would just have to not be there. Or meets fully successful. That's it. That was your two. So if you had somebody who was, as I go through this, an excellent person who really wanted to strive and to do better, and somebody that was just mediocre and so-so, just barely getting by, it came out exactly the same. You know, somebody was looking at their performance appraisals, absolutely no difference. And that's where the world wants to go, right? They want to get us into that mediocre mindset that we're all, you know, nobody's better than anybody else. We're all the same. There's no reason, you know, let's just let everybody be ordinary, just so-so, be halfway between failure and success. But, you know, just as I go through that, our society has really accepted mediocrity as something that they want people to do. But I can tell you it's not applauded in heaven. It's not applauded by God in the things of God as we read through the Word of God. There's nothing mediocre about living a Christian life. There's nothing ordinary or so-so. We should be living a life of excellence because that's God's way. A mediocre person tends to be a people pleaser more than a God pleaser. You know, I would rather please people because it's just easier than stepping out in the excellence realm and please God. They make their choices to please people and just kind of go along with the crowd because isn't that easier? I mean, if you think about it, it's easier to kind of go along with the crowd other than to go against what the crowd is saying. Unless you're like one of them really rebellious people, you know, you just like to cause problems and waves. But, you know, the excellence person is going to make their choices according to the Word of God and not according to what people think. They're going to make their decisions according to the Word of God to please God. Amen. Because they'll have that desire to please Him. So as you look at the definition of an excellent person, again, it's that superior, very good of its kind, eminently good, and first class. So the excellent person is one who does what's right even when nobody's looking. Amen. You know, it doesn't matter where I'm at. It doesn't matter if I'm at home. It doesn't matter if I'm at work, if I'm at church, if I'm at the store, if I'm by myself. I'm going to do what I do according to the Word of God. Doesn't matter if people are watching because I'm not looking to please people. I want to please God. I want to live a life that's pleasing to Him. The excellent person has a revelation that God sees everything, right? I mean, how many times have we opened the door to sin or, you know, think we're going to get away with something, thinking like we're hiding it from God? Well, we're not. But sometimes, maybe you guys haven't, but I've been in that mindset before that, you know, oh, either God will forgive me or I can sneak this one by. And, you know, it doesn't work. An excellent person knows that God is seeing everything anyway, so I'm going to live a life that's pleasing to Him because I'm living my life before God at all times. It doesn't matter where I'm at. And really, that's the kind of person we all should strive to be, amen? You can turn to Deuteronomy chapter 30. Deuteronomy chapter 30. And, you know, as we go through this some more tonight, God gives us the choice, right? We all have the choice to be what kind of person we want to be. You can be excellent, you can be mediocre, or you can be lazy. It's our choice, you know. God gives us that choice. And in Deuteronomy chapter 30, verse 19, it says, I call heaven and earth as witnesses today against you. I have set before you life and death, blessings and cursings. Therefore, choose life that both you and your descendants may live. So we get to choose, right? Life or death, blessings or cursings, you know. We get to choose to be doers of the word, not hearers only, or to not do the word. You know, we get to choose to be excellent, mediocre, or lazy in our lives. And if you think about it, take a step back and really take a look at each one of our lives. You know, take a look at your life or those that are close to you. You can see that we're all living the result of our choices right now. Amen. I mean, wherever you're at in your life, we're living the result of those choices. You know, sometimes we think we can just pray away our problems without changing, without applying the Word of God into our lives. But you know what? It don't work. You can pray all you want, but if you're not going to apply God's Word and step out in faith and make those changes that you need to make in your life, you're just going to go around the same mountain and and the same things are just going to keep happening in your life. And the reality is, if you don't like what you see, make a change. I mean, if you don't like it, make a change in your life. And, you know, even if you grew up lazy or mediocre, or if you're struggling with that in some area of your life right now, you don't have to stay that way. I mean, nobody has to stay that way. We can all change, and we can change by applying the Word of God in our lives. We can change by just stepping out and just being doers of the Word, not hearers only. And as I look at the mediocre person again, I'll just go through a little more things about that. We'll find out that they're complacent about things. You know, a mediocre person, because they're kind of in between lazy and excellent, you know, they're that so-so kind of thing. A lot of times when you get in that mediocre mindset, you think you're just doing fine, you know, because, hey, I'm doing as good as they are. I'm okay, you know. Just compare me to the rest of the world, and I'm just doing fine. You know, they're not striving to be excellent according to the Word of God, because that's not the standard they're using. They're using people or the world or society as their standard. And that's a dangerous place to be, because it's not God's desire that any of us be lazy or mediocre. God's desire is that we strive for excellence, strive for applying His Word into our lives. And you can turn to Proverbs chapter 8. You know, as we were singing those songs tonight, as we were praising God, you know what? What really came out in that for me is we have an excellent God. And if we're going to be like Him and we want to represent Him, we need to live that life of excellence that the Bible talks about. I mean, we need to pattern ourselves after that. And in Proverbs chapter 8, looking at verse 6, it says, "Listen, for I will speak of excellent things, and from the opening of my lips will come right things." You know, we need to speak excellent things, don't we? We need to be excellent in our conversations as we're talking to people. Let's bring up the Word of God into our lives. You know, excellent in how we take care of ourselves and our homes and our cars, how we dress, and just, you know, all those things we should be looking to be excellent. How we treat other people. You know, we should be excellent in how we do that. We should be excellent in the job we have, the kind of work we're doing, you know, whatever it may be out there. And if you're retired, you know, whatever you're doing out there doesn't matter. We should be excellent at what we're doing. Really, that's the standard we should be pursuing, the standard according to God's Word, not what the world and society says. And you say in Proverbs, but go over to chapter 24. And really, the bottom line is when we choose to go down one of those roads, the lazy, mediocre, excellent road, there's a result or a destination for those choices, right? I mean, if we go down that road, we're going to get somewhere. And wherever we get, we're going to get the results of that choice that we made. So in Proverbs 24, verse 30, it says, "I went by the field of a lazy man and by the vineyard of a man devoid of understanding. And there it was, all overgrown with thorns. Its surface was covered with nettles. The stone wall was broken down. And when I saw it, I considered it well. I looked on it and received instruction. A little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to rest. So shall your poverty come like a prowler, and your need like an armed man." So right there we see the results of being lazy. Not very good, right? Whatever you have is just going to end up in ruin. You know, and if you look around people that live that kind of lifestyle, you know, you kind of see that, you know, their home, their property, their car, whatever they have, depending on, I mean, if you know them well, you might see the inside of their house, I don't know. But everything looks like it's in ruin. It's just very trashed and things are all broken down because people just are lazy. They're not taking care of what God has blessed them with. It's just not, to me, it's not a very encouraging picture. Or we can choose excellence, right? You know, I'll keep going back to that tonight. We can choose excellence. We can study God's Word and apply it into our life and choose to live a life that's pleasing to God. Really, that's the bottom line. Let's be good stewards with what we have. You know, God blesses us with things. Kathy and I was talking about that today, just how, you know, God knew that certain things were going to come into our lives, that we were going to need a provision in this area or that area. And, you know, at the time, sometimes you kind of struggle and wonder about that a little bit. But, you know what? We just keep focused on Jesus, keep moving forward with the things of God, and he just keeps opening the doors. He just keeps providing the provision that we need in our lives, you know? It's just amazing, but we can be good stewards with the things God's blessed us with, is what I'm saying, you know? God can bless you with a home and a new car, and if you want to be lazy, you can let them fall into ruin. That's not what God wants. Let's take care of what God has blessed us with. And as we do that, we can bring about positive change, right? In our lives, in our families, in our community, in our church. I mean, we can bring about that positive change just by living that excellent life. Being excellent means applying to the word of God into your life over and over, to the point that we're reacting to a situation according to the word of God and not according to our feelings, not according to how we feel about it. And James 1:22, very familiar, be doers of the word, not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. You know, it's really time to not use or put away the excuses, right, the justifications, and just apply God's word into our lives. And, you know, I think we all can probably look at ourselves and realize that there may be areas in our lives where we might tend to be a little bit lazy or tend to be a little mediocre in our lives, but it's up to each one of us really to take an honest look at those areas and make the changes that we need to make in some of those things, and bring that up to a level of excellence according to God's word. But again, if I choose to be mediocre about it, I'm going to choose just kind of the status quo. You know, I'm just going to choose to be happen, you know, or to be average, and whatever happens, it just happens. I have no control, so I'll just kind of go along with it like everybody else is, and whether it's good or bad, I'm just going to float along, and again, I'm not that bad. I'm not any worse than anybody else. I mean, it's just really an attitude that can really take hold, can become a stronghold in our lives, and I would just encourage you, you know what, let's strive for excellence in our lives. Let's not just go along with what everybody else has to say or has to do with those mindsets and stuff. You probably haven't had that attitude in your life, but I know I have. You know, I know I've had that attitude in my life that it's just easier to go along with the crowd. You know, working in the Forest Service and the fire side of things, a lot of times it was way easier to go along with the crowd. You know, when we get out there either on a fire or out there doing a project of some kind, it was just easier to go along with the conversations, to go along with the jokes, to go along with the really the whole lifestyle of what they had going on there. And it took me a while, but I decided, you know what? I'm going to church. I really don't like this stuff anymore, because there was a time when I did like that stuff. I did enjoy those conversations, those jokes. But instead of going along with it, I said, you know what, I just don't want to do that anymore. So I started making changes as I could. There, you know, it was slow at times. But it did get to the point where, as those conversations took place and the swearing started, if I was with the group at that time doing whatever we were doing, I actually would have people say, oh, sorry, Ron, I didn't mean to do that. I didn't mean to swear. Hey, you guys live the way you want. I'm just not going to join in. I'm going to live. But you can see that when you start making those changes, when you start coming up to a level of excellence according to God's word around people who don't believe, they see that. They notice that, and they'll start making changes around you. Again, it's their choice whether they choose to go God's route or stay where they're going. But I could see the atmosphere around me anyway that was changing. So it's good stuff. You know, the bottom line is each one of us is going to choose the lifestyle we're going to live. We're all going to choose it. You can choose the lifestyle you want. You can choose to pursue excellence, or you pursue the stuff that you shouldn't be pursuing. The problem is choosing anything but excellence according to God's word in our lives, you're just going to go down a path where you're never going to be just satisfied. You're never going to be fulfilled, because only God can do that. But if we're trying to fulfill ourselves through the world and through what the world offers or just going along with the world, you're just going to be unfulfilled and dissatisfied. You're not going to be happy, you know. And the happy I'm talking about is not just momentary happiness over day-to-day situations. You know, we can all be happy, we can all be sad, you know. Now, I'm talking about that joy of the Lord, that no matter what's going on around me, I'm just happy. It's like Paul in prison writing how joyful he was. It wasn't the situation, it was his relationship with God that was bringing that joy. So when we have that, we're going to be happy, but people choosing that lifestyle away from God, they're never going to be truly fulfilled in that. And we get that way by striving after the things of God. And when we choose to be excellent, the things of God, the blessings of God begin to flow into our lives. And again, Kathy and I have seen that so much, and it's a good place to be. And I've already kind of talked about this a little bit. I know that I've been lazy and mediocre in some areas of my life, you know, kind of middle of the road, just going along with what everybody did. And there was a time in my life I reaped the consequences of that. And if you haven't, I can tell you from experience, I didn't like it very much. And you're not going to like it either if you go down some of those roads. And if we want to, again, if we want changes to take place, we got to make changes in our lives. And the key is just studying the Word of God. You know, I mean, I say that a lot, but it's just so true. I mean, the key is studying the Word of God, knowing what the Word of God says and being able to apply it into our lives and begin to walk it out. But unfortunately, not everyone wants to be doers of the Word, and they don't want to pursue excellence. And I thought, why wouldn't people want that? You know, why wouldn't they? So I have to take a step back, because I'm not going to decide why somebody else, or try to figure out, I guess, what somebody else wants to do. I got to look at why I didn't. You know, why didn't I at that time in my life? And I didn't because I didn't feel like it. The flesh wins out, right? I just didn't feel like pursuing excellence. I wanted the results of it. I mean, we all want the results of that kind of stuff, right? But I didn't want to put in the time and the effort that it took to make the changes that needed to be changed in my life to become more excellent. It was just, for me, it was just easy to settle, to be lazy and to be mediocre. It was just easier. And that's really, I believe, why most people make the choice not to pursue excellence, is because they just don't feel like it. It's too hard. I don't want to do that. It's too uncomfortable for me. And we're living by our feelings, and our feelings are not going to help us do what is right. You know, they're really not. I know I go back to fire situations, but I know that in any fire situation that started getting out of control, something happened that was unexpected, or it got a little more intense. You know, the intensity of the fire became more at whatever point. And I watched people panic in those situations. And when anybody panicked, they never made the right decision. They never. They were usually running the exact opposite way that they needed to go, because in panic, they weren't thinking. You could say their feelings took over. You know, they were, you know, maybe it was easier to run downhill, but that's not the place we needed to go. We needed to go uphill and away, you know, whatever the situation may be. But, you know, when we let our feelings start running our lives, then we're probably going to go down the road of being lazy and mediocre. And if our feelings also don't like to be disciplined, right? I mean, anybody like to be disciplined? I don't like to be disciplined. You know, none of us really like that. So if we let our feelings rule, then, hey, if somebody starts telling me what I'm doing or what I'm thinking is wrong, I ain't going to listen to you because you're hurting my feelings, you know. Dave and I have a thing here at church. We joke around, and he'll say something. I go, ooh, that hurt. I got to push my little goosebumps down because I'm getting, you know, like I'm going to be offended or something. But anyway, turn to Hebrews chapter 12. You know, we don't like to be disciplined, or our feelings don't like to be disciplined, but is that what the Word of God says? And in Hebrews 12, we'll go down to verse 11, and it says, "Now no chastening seems to be joyful for the present, but painful." That's true, right? Getting disciplined is painful. We don't like it. Nevertheless, afterward, it yields the peaceable fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained by it. You know what? We're not going to learn what's right and wrong and what we're supposed to do and not supposed to do without being disciplined, without learning, without going through some of those processes. So don't let your feelings lead you through that. Let the Word of God lead you through that. And no matter what we're going through, no matter what's happening in our lives, we can find a way in God's Word to change it, to overcome those kinds of things. Because it's not going to come by hoping and wishing. Hoping and wishing. There's a song, isn't there? Hoping and wishing and something like that. But, you know, it's not going to change. You'll find in the Word of God something that'll change your life, and you just need to apply that principle. And as you do that, you're going to reap the harvest of that. And the nice thing about it, or the awesome thing about it, or the excellent thing about it, right, about the Word of God, is God's Word doesn't change, right? It's the same yesterday, today, or forever. I mean, that's our God is, so His Word is not going to change. Yet, how often is the world changed? I mean, the world changes all the time, you know? I like to stay short time on this earth as I grew up. I remember when I was in school, we were going to have an ice age again. And then we were going to have global warming and everything was going to melt and we were all going to die. And neither one of those panned out, so now we have climate change. So now it can be either or. You know. So the world keeps changing that. Whether there's any truth in that, you guys figure that out yourselves. But I don't know. It just changes. I know with eggs, something as simple as eggs. Eggs are good for you. Eggs are bad for you. I think it keeps going back and forth. I don't know where they are now, but they've been good and bad for you all the time I can remember. You know, so the world keeps going back and forth because they don't know. The Word of God never changes. We can build our lives on God's Word and know that that's the firm foundation that we can stand on and build our lives on. Because things and circumstances in our lives are going to change, you know, regardless of what the world's doing, that's going to happen. But no matter what the circumstance or situation looks like, if we stand firm on the Word of God, we're going to overcome those things. And in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 13, it says, "Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, stand," right? No matter what we can do, we can stand. We can just stand. We need to gain and maintain the things of God in our lives. You know, as we make a step forward in excellence, according to the Word of God, we need to maintain that because it's not a one-time thing. It's just not a one-time thing because if we don't maintain what we've gained with the Word of God, we're going to backslide. That's why it says, if you've done all, just stand. If you can't move forward for a time, just stand. Just stand. Don't let yourself go backwards. Don't start to backslide. And, you know, I was thinking about it. Just because you have a good marriage right now doesn't mean you are in the future unless you maintain it, right? Unless you, you know, my pastor talks about putting equity into the relationship. That, absolutely. You know, I know Kathy and I, we do things for each other. You know, we don't take each other for granted. And we try to keep our eyes the best we know how fixed on God and continue to move forward in that. And we keep putting equity into our marriage, and it's awesome. It's blessed. God is just good. And you think about it, when you got born again, just because you're born again doesn't mean your spirit's going to grow unless you feed it. Right? We got to feed our spirit. We got to feed it the Word of God. We got to apply the Word of God. We got to do those things because if we don't do that, we're not going to grow spiritually. We're going to end up falling into that lazy or mediocre lifestyle. And, you know, we feed our bodies, right? I know I probably feed mine more than I should. But if we didn't, you know, eventually you're going to die. And the same thing spiritually. If we don't feed our spirit, eventually it's just not going to grow and it's going to die. And if we're too lazy to read the Word and to memorize, I know that, but actually start memorizing some scriptures out there, then we're really not feeding our spirit. And I remember I used to watch, some of you may have known those, Ray Comfort. you know, the evangelistic guy. He had a whole series he did with Kirk Cameron, the actor. You know, and they would go out on the street, right? And they would evangelize to people and all kinds of different things. And it was pretty entertaining for the most part. But one that really stuck with me, I really liked this one. So they get out and they're asking people, hey, can you name any of the Ten Commandments? Can you name any? You know, people like, don't murder, don't lie. I think not stealing's one of them. That's about the three that they would get. You know, they'd get a couple, three of those, and then they'd go to the same people, right? How many brands of beer can you name? I mean, people were rattling that stuff off, and I thought, how sad that we can't memorize a little bit of God's word, know even the Ten Commandments, yet we can rattle off every brand of beer that's out there or whatever else that may be consuming your life, right? And I thought, wow. And then we wonder why the devil is beating us up. You know, you start thinking about it, you know, the devil comes around and tempts us, right? He's pestering us. He's trying to get us to move away from the Word of God, and we don't know any scripture to come against him, you know? And so he just starts beating us up. And then, instead of pushing forward, a lot of times, it's just too hard. So then I step back, and as soon as I become lazy, mediocre, and I'm not pursuing after the things of God and not serving in the kingdom of God, guess what? The devil's going to leave me alone. Now it's easy. I got what I want. You know, life's good. It's not. We need to push through those things and actually get to the point where what the devil's tempting you with no longer bothers you. That's what standing firm, and that's what pursuing that excellence is going to accomplish in your life. John 8, 44. It says, you are of your father, the devil. That's a great way to start. You are of your father, the devil. And the desires of your father you want to do. And he was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth because there is no truth in him. He speaks a lie and he speaks from his own resources, for he is a liar and the father of it. Right there, the devil's a liar, amen? I mean, he's, you know, the devil's going to tell you you're a failure. The devil's going to tell you you're not going to amount to anything. Don't listen. You know, if we apply God's word, if we are striving towards excellence, being doers of the word, not hearers only, seeking first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, his way of doing and being right, we're not going to be a failure. We're not going to not amount to anything. We're going to be a child of God serving in the kingdom of God is what we're going to do. But it's interesting that we don't have a problem speaking out negative stuff. Come on. Just watch the news. When was the last encouraging thing you ever heard? You know, maybe there's some, I don't really watch it anymore, but I mean, there's nothing encouraging there, but it seems like it's easy to get kind of pulled into those kinds of negative conversations, yet all that does is bring us into worry and into depression, and this is not a place that we want to be. And the Bible says in Isaiah 61, verse 3, it says, to console those who mourn in Zion, to give them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, and the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they may be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he may be glorified. You know what? Let's not let laziness win. You know, let's put on the garment of praise instead of the spirit of heaviness. You know, let's do what the word of God says to do. You know, the Bible tells us to put on love, right? You know, we don't always feel like loving everybody, do we? Or maybe that's just me, I don't know. Sometimes we don't feel like loving everybody, but love's not a feeling, if we go back to that. Love's a choice, right? It's not a feeling. Forgiving someone, definitely not a feeling. You know, if somebody really hurts you, you don't feel like forgiving them, yet the Word of God says to forgive them. Praying for your enemies. Again, if you're letting your feelings take control, you're not following what the Word of God says, because it tells us to pray for our enemies. We need to choose to do things not because we feel like it or don't feel like it. We need to do things because the Word of God says to do it. Because we don't serve an average God, so why do we think we should be average in our lifestyle or mediocre in our lifestyles? It's, you know, if you're there, if you're struggling with that, you need to break out of that mentality that it's okay to be, it's not okay to be average or mediocre. Now, I'm not here to tell everybody that you're going to be excellent in everything. I mean, we're not going to be excellent in everything. I'm not talking about our gifts out there, right? I mean, I'm glad everybody's sitting down because it's going to shock you, but I'm not going to be able to get up on the stage and play instruments and sing like Kathy and Angela. I'm not. I'm not going to do that. But then there are some things that I'm going to be able to do that they can't. I can't think of any right now, but I know there is. There's got to be something. But anyway, you know, there's things that I can do that they can't. You know, we all have gifts, and we need to excel in our gifts, right? We need to take the gifts that God's given us and excel in those things. And excellence really means to take what God has given you, those gifts, and do the very best you can with that. It doesn't mean to look at somebody else and the giftings they have and try to be like them. Let's just do the best with what God's given us. You know, again, I'm not going to be 6'9 and play like Larry Bird in the NBA. Not going to happen. But it doesn't mean that I shouldn't do the best with what I have, with what God has given me. You know, if we are good stewards with what God has given us, then God's going to bring the increase, right? Remember the parable of the talons? You know, he went through those, and the lazy one, his talent was taken away, and who was it given to? The excellent one, right? The one who multiplied the most talents. And if you're doing the very best with what you have, you're showing, you're just showing yourself to be a good steward with what God has given you with, what God has blessed you with. So don't take inventory of what you don't have. Just do what the very best you can with what God has given you. And, you know, I've heard people say, I've said this before, you know, it's easy to say that I don't have enough to do anything, you know. It's really an opportunity to look for an out because I don't want to do something. You know, let's just do what we can with what God has given us because we can all do something. Ephesians 3:20, it says, "Now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all we can ask or think according to the power that works within us." You know, there's nothing average about that. You know, our God is an awesome God and we need to be like that, amen? You know, when we say we magnify the Lord, that just makes, you know, that means that he is just bigger than everything else. And that's what exceedingly abundantly above all we can ask or think, that's what that means, that God is just so much higher than everything else. You know, when you think about it, we should go the extra mile, right? God goes the extra mile. And I think it's over in Matthew 5, and when it talks about, you know, if he asks you to go 1 mile, go with him too. You know what? The excellent person will. The lazy or mediocre person won't. You know, they'll say, hey, I've gone one. That's enough. That's all they're doing. So I can do the same as that. You know, again, we just need to be faithful with the things that God has given us. And we need to do what we do not to please people, but we need to do what we do to please God, to do that. And the Bible says our reward's not going to come from people anyway, or whatever we reward we get, that's it. You know, but we can store up treasures in heaven, you know, as God brings blessings. And not only storing those up there in heaven, but I know he blesses us here in this life as well. You know, if I'm doing something right for anybody, you know, whether it's here at the church or out at work or wherever it is within, you know, family and stuff, and they're not treating me right, just God will deal with that. If I'm doing what's right, God's going to bless me. You know, I'm going to be okay. I don't have to gripe. I don't have to complain. I just need to have faith in what God said and faith in his word. And I just pray about it. And pray for my enemies. Pray for those who spitefully hurt you. I mean, do those kinds of things, and God will take care of the situation. We don't have to do it. John 10:10, we know that. The thief does not come except to steal, kill, and destroy, but I have come that they may have life and have it more abundantly. I mean, we serve El Shaddai, right? The God of more than enough. And our God wants to bless us abundantly until it overflows. I mean, that's just awesome. But we need to remember, again, whatever path we take, it's going to take us somewhere. And if you find yourself going down that path, a path that you don't like, you just need to stop. Just stop that and change direction. I mean, it's that simple. No matter where we're at, just stop and change that direction. And, you know, we don't want to get in the mindset that, you know what, I just made of all these bad choices, I've got such a mess in my life right now that I can't change it. I mean, nothing's going to change it. Yeah, God can change it. We just need to make the choice to follow His word and to do what He says. You know, it's never too late to start applying those changes into our lives. It's never too late to change your direction and become more excellent according to the word of God. You're never too young, which, amen on that, but you're never too old either. I say amen to that. You're never too old. You're never too far down the road or in trouble or in a situation that you can't make that choice to start being excellent according to God's word. Don't let the devil tell you it's too late, because remember, we read he's a liar and the father of lies, so he's just going to lie to you. And there's going to be times when we fall short. You know, we all do. Right? We're going to fall short at some time. We're going to miss the mark. But again, don't get in that attitude of, oh, it's just such a mess, I can't change. You know what? Repent. Repent and move on. Repent and get back into the Word of God and keep doing that. Now, as I get ready to close here, excellence is not perfection. Okay? I don't want you to think that, because there was only one perfect person who ever walked the earth or ever will, and that's Jesus, right? So I'm not talking about perfection, because we can drive ourselves and others crazy if we want to try to be the perfect person, because we're never going to reach that. You know, I just want to encourage you, do the very best you can with the gifts that God has given you. I mean, that's what we want to do, and strive after His ways of doing and being right. And the last scripture tonight will be Colossians chapter 3, starting in verse 23. And it says, "And whatever you do, do it heartily as unto the Lord, and not to men, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the reward of the inheritance, for you serve the Lord Christ." I mean, that really sums up everything. You know, whatever you do, do it heartily, not hardly, okay? Because hardly, that's mediocre and lazy. Do it heartily unto the Lord with that excellence, right? So, real easy, right? I think I pounded it enough tonight. Don't choose the lazy or mediocre path. Choose the path of excellence. Amen? Amen. Amen. I went over. I'm sorry.